When I started thinking about today's scripture, I thought of this poor guy, Forrest Gump. So many incredible statements that were made in that movie that was out a long time ago, but some of these lasting messages. And one of the messages that I remember was how this guy had all these incredible experiences and had a story to tell. And that's what happens to the guys in our scripture today. And as we get into that, before we get into that, though, I just want to say a couple of things. I had an incredible week this week. The Monday night meeting was amazing. And you know, my hat is off to our nominating team and all the people that stepped up to leadership. We had an amazing church conference this past Monday night. If you were there, you know what I'm talking about. It was a joy-filled event where we were choosing leaders to fill the vacancies. And what an A-team we have put together from this church. I am just so pleased. We could have done it twice and had a team just as good. There's so many people that we couldn't even go to. But we did elect some lay leaders. What we did this year is we elected a lay leader that's the overall lay leader. And Donna Overdorf is over here, and you heard her read just a bit ago. But Donna, would you stand? We can welcome you as our new leader, as a lay leader. And where's Mary? Oh, there you are. Would you please stand? She's going to be overseeing this this service specifically. So we welcome Mary. Would you please appreciate her? So what we're doing is having associate lay leaders at each of the services that will be assisting our lay leader. They will be helping to communicate things from the congregation back to me. And also we need to remember, though, that they are not your complaint department. If you want a complaint, over here is your person. Beth, would you please stand? Beth. Beth is our SPRC chair, doing a marvelous job on your behalf. She is really knocking it out of the park. So I'd like to now read the gospel lesson. Will you please stand for the reading of the gospel lesson? That same day, two of Jesus' followers were walking to the village of Emmaus, 7 miles from Jerusalem. As they walked along, they were talking about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things, Jesus himself suddenly came and began walking with them. But God kept them from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing so intently as you walk along?" They stopped short, sadness written across their faces. Then one of them, Cleopas, replied, "You must be the only person in Jerusalem who hasn't heard all the things that have happened there the last few days." "What things?" Jesus asked. "The things that happened to Jesus, the man from Nazareth," they said. "He was a prophet who did powerful miracles, and he was a mighty teacher in the eyes of God and all the people. But our leading priests and other religious leaders handed him over to be condemned to death. They crucified him. We had hoped," catch this, "we had hoped he was the Messiah who had come to rescue Israel. This all happened 3 days ago. Then some women from our group of his followers were at his tomb early this morning, and they came back with an amazing report. They said this body was missing, and they had seen angels who told them Jesus is alive. Some of our men ran out to see, and sure enough, his body was gone just as the women had said. Then Jesus said to them, 'You foolish people, you find it so hard to believe all that the prophets wrote in the scriptures. Wasn't it clearly predicted that the Messiah would have to suffer all these things before entering his glory?' Then Jesus took them through the writings of Moses and all the prophets, explaining from all the scriptures the things concerning himself. By this time, they were nearing Emmaus and the end of the journey, and Jesus acted as if he were going on. But they begged him, 'Stay the night with us since it's getting late.' So he went home with them. As they sat down to eat, he took the bread and blessed it. Then he broke it and gave it to them. Suddenly, their eyes opened and they recognized him. And at that moment, he disappeared. They said to each other, 'Didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked with us on the road and explained the scriptures to us?' And within the hour, they were on their way back to Jerusalem. They found the 11 disciples and the others who had gathered with them who said, 'The Lord has really risen. He appeared to Peter.' Then two from Emmaus told their story of how Jesus had appeared to them as they were walking along the road, how they had recognized him as he was breaking the bread." This is the word of God for the people of God. You may be seated. So, walks are an interesting thing, aren't they? And what one of my favorite times that I have in my current journey is walking with my wife. My wife and I like to walk. We have an incredible walking path. We haven't been able to do it as much recently because of me working two full-time jobs, one as district superintendent, one as pastor of this great church. But when we get a chance, we like to get out and go for a walk. We have a graveyard right above us, and that may seem like a strange place to walk, but we have no fear of graveyards because we know that there's no such thing as spooks and ghosts behind every gravestone. We just go to enjoy the journey together. Wonderful things happen when you go on a journey together. You know, you get away from the TV, the computer, keep your phone in your pocket and turn it off, and just spend some time talking with each other and getting to know each other better. That's what happened for our two guys today. Our two guys got to go on a journey together, and they got to know more about themselves, more about their world, and more about God. I think that's what happened for Forrest Gump in a way, as he ran across the country and he got back and he had a story to tell. And I want to just encourage us a little bit in this as we begin this journey together. I want you to see this picture. This picture is a couple of pastors who served in, one of them serves in the Greensburg district, the other in the Washington district. But they walked around the entire annual conference last year. The reason they did this was they said that they felt like they needed to have build their connection with each other and with the connection of the United Methodist Church. And they walked, starting at Cranberry Township, walked down through Washington District, where Brad Louster now serves as the district superintendent, walked across through my district of Connellsville and up through the mountain and over into Somerset, up through Johnstown, up through Indiana. They came through here, yep, and right on up into Kane and Warren area, over across in Erie Meadville, back down into through Franklin, and arrived in time for annual conference at Grove City. That's quite a walk. And they did it all in about a week, a little over a week. They learned a lot about themselves. They learned a lot about hiking. For one, they learned that when you practice walking on the road, don't do it on a path or a regular trail because trails are flat and the roadways are slanted, and they ended up with blisters where they didn't know they could get blisters. It's very different walking on a road. They also learned that there are great people wherever you go, and they would blog every night about their experiences as they got to know people, and they blogged about how they were getting to know God better as they journeyed together. Now, all this brings us to our text today about two guys who are totally despondent, brokenhearted. Remember, they had hoped that Jesus was the one. They didn't understand how this could happen. All they have are mysteries. They have mystery upon mystery upon mystery. How could this have happened? What are we going to do with our lives now? We have no idea why they're going to Emmaus. We're not told that at all. We don't know anything about these two guys. There's not another time in all the scriptures that Cleopas or this story is referenced. It's just given in the Gospels, the walk to Emmaus, and that's all we know. What we do know is they had questions galore. And what we know is that they were really struggling. And that's the great thing about this text. Because these are the people to whom Jesus showed up. Two unknowns. You ever think you're an unknown? You ever feel that way? You ever feel like nobody knows you and nobody understands anything about you and you're just some person in the background that doesn't matter? Then this scripture's for you. You have questions you just don't understand. You feel like your plan isn't working out, then this scripture is for you. You want to know that you matter to God, this scripture is for you. Because this is what this scripture is about, is that people, no matter how despondent or unknown they are, matter to God in a huge way. And I hope that all of us grasp that this morning, because I believe the gospel is good news. And every time I read it, I see good news. And boy, is it good news that I'm valued, that I matter, that I have eternal significance. That matters, doesn't it? Doesn't that matter? That matters more than anything. You know, we get so tied up with all the things that don't really matter, but this matters, that I am valued by God, and that you are valued by God. That is an amazing truth. And that's what shows up here. Could we read together Matthew 19:30? But many who are the greatest now will be the least important then. And those who seem least important now will be the greatest then. I love the question they have for Jesus. Among their many questions, they've got another question. How could you not have heard? Yeah, hasn't everybody heard about this? I mean, have you been hiding under a rock or in a cave? How could you have not heard what just happened? You know, are you the last person? Did you catch how Cleopas asked him? Are you the last person in all this area that hasn't heard about this amazing event? And I want you to hear that loud and clear, friends, because this is one really well attested to event. Did you know that? Did you know this didn't happen in secret? Did you know there were witnesses to everything? Do you know that everybody in Jerusalem knew what happened? That's important that you get that, because this was not some little secret that happened somewhere that somebody made up a story. Nothing could be further from the truth. Everybody knew what happened. Everybody knew that there was a guy. Remember the crowds on Palm Sunday? Everybody knew that he was coming to town and was some amazing individual that was doing all kinds of miracles. And did you catch when Cleopas told him? He said, this guy was doing all kinds of miracles. He spoke with great authority. He was an amazing guy. We were sure he was the Messiah. Everybody believed that. Everybody knew that this was an amazing individual who was doing amazing things. And they also knew that he got nailed to a cross. Because the crowds came to see it. Surely he's going to come down. He's going to call 10,000 angels. He's going to get off this cross. So a great crowd of witnesses knew about this. And then when the resurrection happened, you know, we always think that, well, just a couple women found him out at the tomb. But we know that this was the talk of the town. Because other graves had opened up. Can you imagine how that might have got out? Can you imagine the conversations that were had about all that? But also, we know that the guards, and it's attested to well in all the Gospels, about how the guards made up a story about how they had fallen asleep while they were guarding. Do you know what happened to Roman guards when they fell asleep? They were executed. That was a Roman law. But that was their excuse for why the body was missing. So, hear this loud and clear. This is a well-attested to event. It's well-witnessed, and it takes a small step of faith, but you've got to take that step. These guys knew that everybody knew. Everybody knew. But you're going to see here in a while that they have to take their step. They have to open the door. You know, last week I mentioned the door of the heart. And someone after the service said to me, and did you ever notice in that picture, you know, the great picture that they paint about how there's no handle on the outside, but only on the inside. That God, in his infinite wisdom and his deep love for us, took the great risk of giving us choice and said that you've got to open the door. Isn't that amazing? He took the first step with these guys, but they still had to open the door. And we're going to get into that in a little bit. But I think we do the same thing with this story. We say, what? People haven't heard? Don't we? We're like, say what? I've got 10 Bibles in my house. I can't even read them all. Some of them had cobwebs on them. You know, are you kidding me? People haven't heard this. We've got churches on every corner. Do you really believe people haven't heard this? Yes, I believe that. I believe that strongly. I believe there are many who know that there's some holiday that has religious undertones that we celebrate with an Easter bunny. I believe that there are people who know that there's some other event that some people get all excited about, but they don't like to go to that service because it's kind of a dark service. Like somebody died on a cross, something about Jesus dying on a cross. In a way, they're a little like these two guys, aren't they? They know these events have happened. They know there was a person, you know, and this is a historical fact. You don't need any faith to believe that there was a person named Jesus of Nazareth who died 2,000 years ago, crucified by the Roman government. That is a fact. That's not something you have to believe. That's just a fact. That's like believing in the Civil War, World War I, and World War II. That's easy. That's as simple as it gets. There was a man named Jesus who was killed on a cross by the Romans. It was also believed widely and taught widely that he rose from the dead. And it's a fact that the tomb was empty. That's an historical fact. But what do you believe about it? That's what's really important. It's not believing some facts, it's the implications of the fact. What do you believe about the implications of the fact that Jesus rose from the dead? Because it's not just rational belief of these facts. These guys had the facts, but they didn't get the implications, and they couldn't even recognize Jesus. You've got to get the implications of the facts. And I believe there are people all around us who don't understand the implications of the fact. And we're running around acting like we believe everybody's heard and everybody understands. And they just don't come because they're not interested. That's not the case. A lot of people don't come because they don't understand, and they don't understand the implications of this incredible event. And that's why we all have to go out and tell people and invite people to come and hear this grand story that happened, because it has incredible implications. It changed everything, including me and you. And that's why we're here, because we know this is not just some historical event, but it is an historical event with incredible implications. And that's why we're here. Second thing is that they really wondered, why wasn't it turning out the way they'd hoped, the way they planned? Do you have a plan that you're really wondering why it's not turning out the way that it ought to? Let's read together here from Luke 24. He was a prophet who did powerful miracles, and he was a mighty teacher in the eyes of God and all the people. But our leading priests and the other religious leaders handed him over to be condemned to death, and they crucified him. We had hoped he was the Messiah who had come to rescue Israel. Oh, do you have one of those plans that have been broken? Maybe, just maybe, that wasn't the plan. You know what I'm talking about? All of us come up with our plans, what we think life ought to be. And then there's the plan. The plan that God has. You know, I think I told you this story before, but I'm not sure which service I told it. And sometimes, you know, this is one of the problems of not preaching from manuscript. Then you forget what you told at which service. But do you remember me telling you that I was going to be a veterinarian? That was my big plan. I had an absolute plan. I took academic. You know, I was raised on a farm. I loved animals. I still to this day, I love animals. I just adore them. I think they're awesome little critters. And much to my wife's chagrin, because she's like, oh, our dog adores her. It's still trying to win her over, I think. And I think Cookie has won her over, but I'm just an innate animal lover. I just love them. And boy, I just thought that was my plan. And then when that didn't work out, and I settled into farming, I thought that was the plan. You know? I was sure that was the plan. My tombstone would say, build a farmer on it. You know? And then at 29, God changed the plan. It was the plan originally. That's why I took academic, so that I could handle college and seminary at 29. God knew the plan. The plan hadn't fallen apart. Just because I had different plans, my plans were wrong. Because clearly I am better at being a pastor than I was at being a farmer. And probably better than I would have been as a veterinarian. Your pets would have died if I'd have been on the case. But God in his infinite wisdom knew that I had to take care of some things. I had to learn some things before I was ready to be a pastor. And I'm so glad that God's plan is the plan. And, you know, we've got to be willing to readjust our plans to God's plans all along the way. They thought that the plan was Jesus would come, take over the world, throw off the Roman government, and everything would be okay. Instead, Jesus comes, dies on a cross, and wins the world. Not just Israel. God's plan's better. If Jesus would have raised up, it would have killed him. Well, I mean, he could have stayed alive, but they would have killed a lot of people, and he would have been known as a great military leader, and he'd have gone over the cliff of death unknown like all the other people who are military leaders. Instead, he died on a cross. And he said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all people to me. And that's exactly what happened. The plan was absolutely intact the whole time. So Jesus gives a couple of answers to all their questions. The first question is, look, I was here long before you even started wondering about the plan. God's been working on the plan since the beginning of time. Did you catch there in the scripture how he just told them about all this, the Old Testament scriptures, talked to them about the prophets and Moses and all the events of the Old Testament that were just revealing who he was. And they still don't know that this is Jesus. They're still wondering who he is. To them, he's just a stranger. But he takes them through. Why, don't you wish you could have been part of this? I would love to have been walking down that road with him. I think hearing Jesus open up the scriptures would have been an amazing thing. To have Jesus first person tell about how the prophets and all these Old Testament events were just showing who God is and that what Jesus was going to do. I tell you, when I think of what God did, you know, I mean, as soon as he creates people, remember what happened? We Homo sapiens came on board. Of course, we immediately took our free will and abused it, brought sin into the world, and the first thing God does is crucify animals, the shedding of blood to cover their awareness of their sin. Yep, that's the way it works. Shedding of blood was always God's plan. We see it again in the Passover, where God tells Moses, put the blood of the lamb on the doorpost, and the angel of death will pass over that house. We see it in the great sacrifices done at the temple, the blood, the shedding of the blood. This was always God's plan because God takes sin that seriously. Let us never doubt this. And you know, I appear to be very, very light on sin because I'm so big on grace. But it needs to be said that God's serious about sin just as he is about grace. And God hates sin because it hurts the people God loves. And so he wants us to live our lives in grace and to do the right thing, to not hurt one another and ourselves. And so God in his infinite wisdom says, I must have a just system. And so the eternal plan was the blood of Jesus Christ. And I love how the Hebrews writer puts it here. Could we read this together? Oh, I'm sorry, I went ahead. Now I've got to figure out how to get back. Swiping, there we go. Now I went too far. Yeah, I'm getting on to this, but I'm still learning. Where are we? There we go. Hebrews 1, let's read it together. Long ago, God spoke many times and in many ways to our ancestors through the prophets, and now in these final days, he has spoken to us through his Son. Wow. That's kind of final. You want to get serious, you send a member of the family, don't you? Prophets are one thing, but the Son, that's a whole other deal. And Jesus told a parable about that, by the way, that this is the ultimate. You know, it's a good thing Jesus came when they had questions, isn't it? Because Jesus is the answer. You know, I grew up on a farm. And I remember a sign that my dad had on the barn. Our farm was called Blair Bend Farm. Okay? So Blair Bend Farm, named for the road that came on a bend around our barn. And if you came up around the bend, it all of us looked like you were going to drive right into the end of the barn. But on the end of that barn, my dad had a sign right on the corner so that you almost ran into the sign that said, Jesus is the answer. He is the answer. He's the answer to every question you have, every important question, not how are you going to get more toys, but he's got the answer to the questions of life. What about eternity? Yeah, he's got the answer. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He's the gate to eternal life. What about, does your life have significance? Yes, you were created in the image of a living God. You have significance. He has the answer to every important question that you could possibly have. And he gives the answer to them by revealing the scriptures to them and showing them through the scriptures who he is. But they still do not understand who he is. And so he starts to do something amazing. And he takes the bread and he starts to break it. And I want you to catch something too that he does. He invites them to invite him. Did you catch that? How Jesus, as they approach the village, the people walking with them, they're like, well, this is where we're staying. And Jesus just keeps walking. And they have to make a decision to ask him to stay. Jesus made the first move. Remember what we were talking about earlier? Jesus always makes the first move. But we have to respond. And Jesus would have just walked away. But here is the incredible movement of this conversation that happened on that walk. When they first met him, they're like, what kind of clown are you? You haven't even heard this. And after a 7-mile walk, they're like, could you stay a little longer? This is how wonderful Jesus is. You just got to get to know him. Jesus is wonderful. There's no wrong in him. He is the Son of the living God. He's absolutely perfect. And when he spent time with them, they got turned on by him. They're like, wow, what an amazing man. They still don't know he's Jesus. They just know he's amazing. This is why crowds flock to Jesus all the time. But here's the deal. If you don't spend time with him, you don't get to know him. You know, when I married Beth, I married her because she was pretty. You know? I married her because I just thought she was a cat's meow. My grandfather said he loved my grandmother so much when they got married. He loved her so much he just felt like eating her up. And after he's married a while, I wish he had. No, just kidding. But after you get to know someone, man, you learn to love them in a whole new way, don't you? It was all romance in those early days. Still is romance. Boy, it's deeper and deeper and deeper. It's sweeter. Because that's what happens when you really spend time getting to know someone, especially if they're good. That's what happened for Jesus. They got to know the most amazing person that ever came across the horizon of the world. And they're like, please stay. And they sat down at a table and Jesus started breaking bread. And all of a sudden their eyes were opened. They saw in the breaking of the bread that Jesus was alive. Now, we're going to start having communion on the first weekend of every month at all the services. The reason we're doing that is because there are some things. I mean, did you catch the whole way on that journey? Jesus is talking, explaining everything, and they still don't know who he is. But in breaking the bread, all of a sudden, this is Jesus. See, we are a multifaceted people. We are rational, and that part is important. We need to have the exposition of the word. That the word has to be exposed and talked about. And we need to have that word brought to our ears and our minds. But after that, we need this other left brain experience, whatever you want to call it. Or is it right brain? I always get those mixed up. But we need both sides of experience. You heard me talk about music as an important part of that. But so is the sacrament. That's like saying, well, you lose all the specialness of it if you have it more than once a month. I mean, more than once a quarter or something. Well, I've heard that said, and I don't understand it, because that's like saying, well, I just don't want to see my girlfriend too often. I won't be very special then. Like, give me a break. It gets sweeter and sweeter when you're around someone as wonderful as Jesus. I don't know about you, but I am so glad that he came and got to know me and helped me to get to know him. Let's read together about how God is in these ordinary things, even like bread and cup. Hebrews 12:2. Don't forget to show hospitality to strangers, for some who have done this have entertained angels without realizing it. We got to be more spiritually aware. God's everywhere. He's omnipresent. Last night, just took a little time with the small attendance of the Saturday night service and said, Anyone want to just give a witness of God's sightings? We had a couple people stand up. God is everywhere, and he's revealing himself in a million wonderful ways, some very special ways like the scripture and communion and such, but God's everywhere. And I hope that you start getting more sensitive when you take your walks, that you might spend some time seeking God as you walk together and get to know each other and get to know God a little better. I'm really hoping that we do this. You know, I started talking today about walking together and getting to know people, but boy, the health benefits of walking. You know, I was talking to two older ladies at the Wednesday night dinner, and I mean, I could tell they were pretty old, so I thought I'd just ask. You know, I know you're not supposed to do that, but I was just curious. And I'm like, you mind telling me how old you are? And she says, I'm 92. By the way, her name was Mrs. Blue, and I think there's a poem in there somewhere. But 92. And her sister was sitting beside her, and she said, and I'm 95. I said, what's your secret? Well, we always walked a lot. So I want to encourage us. In this season, the weather's getting better. I want you to be well and blessed. And I think the best thing you can do is do what these two guys. Spend some time walking together, thinking of the things of God, growing a little closer to each other and a little closer to God, and recognizing Jesus when he comes around the bend. Because he is in the face of strangers, just like he was for these two guys. And then these guys, when they recognize who he is, I love it. I just love this, what happens. They've become Forrest Gump. They've gone the whole 7 miles to Emmaus, and as soon as they recognize Jesus that night, they turn around and go running back. Because we have a story to tell. Boy, do we have a story to tell. A guy was raised from the dead. That is a story to tell. There aren't any other stories like that one. This is the story. It's the most incredible story ever told, but it's the true story. And I am so glad that he was raised from the dead. Let's read together here what Jesus said. For where two or three are gathered together as my followers, I am there among them. Look at this picture. This picture is by an artist named Caravaggio. And if you're an artist guy or woman or you are Italian, please forgive me if I just butchered his name because I only read his name. But this painting is an amazing picture. This is a painter's rendition from the 16th century. That's what he would have imagined would have happened that night. As you look at that picture, you can see that the guy in the green has just realized who he's having the bread with. You see how he's getting ready to bounce up from his chair like, you're Jesus? And the guy across the... He's noticing too that this is Jesus at the same time. And if you follow the sight lines from their eyes, you can see that both of them are looking at different hands. But we can't see because there's a cloud on the one and the other one has the fingers folded over where the hole might be. But these two guys can see. And another neat thing that's happening is you notice how there's another guy there? We don't know who that guy is, but there are witnesses to these events. And so that guy is there in the painting. But here's the really neat piece. You noticed the plate about ready to fall off the table. This is like God saying, here, take and receive. And did you notice one more thing? There's an empty space at that table. There's always room for another one at God's table. I think Caravaggio nailed it. That's what happened that night. Their lives were changed by that moment. And they, like many of these disciples, were martyred because they knew what they knew, what they knew, what they knew, and would not back down. Let us pray. Dear God, thank you for coming near to us in the person of Jesus the Christ. Thank you, Lord, for the mystery, the incredible mystery of our faith, that the Lord of the resurrection would be the Lord who would die on a cross. That the one who died on the cross would be the Savior of the world. That the one who died on the cross would be part of a great Trinity. What a mystery that is. Or that you would be present in the Holy Communion, just the common bread and cup. what a mystery that is to us. Oh, dear God, we want to thank you that you came near like this. Because, Lord, we do have people in our congregation who are feeling a little bit unknown or undervalued. Lord, speak into their hearts right at this moment. Help them to know of your love for them. Help them to just sense how much they matter to you. And Lord, I pray that you, right at this moment, would speak into the heart of someone who feels like their plans are all messed up and that their plans are not coming true. Lord, show them your plan. We pray that you would open the right doors for them and close the wrong doors and get them on the track that's meant for them. Lord, we pray that they would experience you on their journeys, wherever their journey takes them. That, Lord, as we work our way through this life, that we would get to know each other better and that we would get to know you better. That we would grow together into the likeness of Jesus the Christ. That we would understand that becoming great means surrendering. Help us, Lord, to get that kind of spirit within each one of us. That we would not be arrogant people. People who claim to have all the answers because we don't, Lord. You are the answer. But that's the one answer we can share. So God, thank you for giving Christ the answer. And Lord, we pray that right now, for those who are hurting, for those who are fearing death, for those who are concerned about diagnosis and treatments, Lord God, in all your majesty, we pray that you would come to them. For those who have buried loved ones in the recent past, who are grieving and hurting, God, you, the great comforter, come and comfort your people. And Lord, I just pray that where there are two or three gathered in your name and seeking you, that you would appear to them, that they would see your face in each other or in the strangers they pass or in the beauty of the glory that you revealed in all of nature. God, help us to see you. Help us to know you and help us to walk with you in a beautiful journey. In Christ's matchless name, amen. So there was a joke that I wanted to tell and I couldn't tell it because it just didn't fit in as I was talking. But I want to end with a smile, okay? So there's these guys. You've heard of them. You know, Watson and what's the other guy? Come on. Holmes, you got it? Okay. Holmes and Watson, they're out on a trail and they're sleeping overnight. They pitch the tent and they go to sleep and they wake up in the middle of the night and he says, Watson, you see that? Watson pops open his eyes and he says, I see millions of constellations. It's amazing. I see that God is a glorious God and we're a very small part of his creation. I see that it must be about 3:30 in the morning according to the constellations and on it goes. And finally, Holmes says, you idiot, didn't you notice the tent is missing? Now, the reason I tell that is because I don't want us missing the important things, the things that are so close that it can hit you in the face if you just start paying attention and listening and paying attention to what's going on around you. And seeing that God is absolutely working and doing incredible things among us. And I just pray that you keep your eyes open and pay attention and catch it. Because you're on for a wonderful journey. And I look forward to journeying with every single one of you. And getting to know you better and better. Every week I'm getting about 20 names. So I've been here, 4 or 5 weeks now? So it's about 100. Well, I think I'm actually doing better than 20. Because I think I know about 150 or 200 across the four services. But I've got a long way to go. And if I don't call you by name, tell me your name until I get it. Okay? Hey, God loves you. You matter to God. Don't ever forget that. Okay? Bless you.